Last week, I was going to start the new series that we're going to be going on. We're going to be diving into Christian mysticism, and we're going to be starting with kind of a big topic that is actually not that big, but rather interesting. And it's the view of the nature of God's existence according to Christian mystics. And we're going to start that series again, talking about Thomas Aquinas, as I mentioned in the last episode. And we're going to be discussing in a two or three part series the five proofs for the existence of God, which Thomas Aquinas came up. And they're rather interesting. And out of nowhere, talk about synchronicities. Friend of the show, Mike, from Mike and Maurice's Mind Escape, chimed in on Twitter and wrote a very interesting blog post on their website, mindescapepodcast.com, about this idea of belief and gnosis. And I found that, of course, rather interesting because we've done probably 15-part series on Gnosticism. I've done, as part of that series, exploring some of the Gnostic texts, a couple of episodes discussing the difference between belief, faith, and gnosis, of belief, faith, and true knowledge of things. And I felt like instead of putting out the first episode on Thomas Aquinas, I would hold off a little bit so I can gather my thoughts on this idea of belief and gnosis, at least in relation to the things that we're going to be discussing about in the next couple of episodes. Because, the universe has a really interesting way of finding synchronicities into the things that you're doing if you are paying close attention. If you get out of your own way, things just kind of magically pop into existence. And I tweeted about this a couple of days ago in my reaction every time one of these synchronicities arises. Because, these things happen all the time. We probably just don't see them because the way that all events and persons and entities and feelings and emotions and ideas and thoughts arise at any given moment, the complexity of that web of existence is so large that it's often impossible to actually understand how connected these things are. Unless, of course, you get out of your way. And so my tweet was something to the effect of, when you quit thinking about things, magic happens. And I had a Doctor Who meme in which he kind of shows his mind being blown, right? And this has happened quite a bit to me, over the last couple of years, but really in particular this year, go back and listen to Hell and Back episode. That was the first episode I did when I came back from a short hiatus. And it's just simply magical how these things arise out of nowhere. If I didn't know any better, I would say it's almost like the universe is talking to me directly. Now, of course, I do know better, so I know that the universe is not talking to me personally directly. The universe is talking to all of us at all times. It's just a matter of whether we want to listen to what the universe is saying or not. And this is going to play a big part in this upcoming series on the five proofs for the existence of God. I do recommend you read Thomas Aquinas, get kind of acquainted. That's not a pun, by the way. Getting acquainted with him before we begin, or maybe listen to the first episode and see how you find that. But this idea of belief and gnosis is something that I've been very, very largely focused on in my life for many, many years. And I've talked about that in the Gnosticism series, so I'm not going to dive into it here. But what I find really interesting is when you begin to enlarge your data set on how you go about determining whether something is actually true or simply something that you hold as a belief, how that changes the way you perceive things. And of course, I've talked many, many times about my deep love of language. I love etymologies. I took an etymology class in high school as part of my SAT preparation and learned quite a bit. And it's rather fascinating when you begin diving into these languages, how words come to be and why they tend to hold certain meanings. And you find this particularly in things like ancient Greek and Latin. You see this in Sanskrit and certain other languages, how deeply mathematical and methodological the way that words are constructed becomes. And it's not necessarily going to be something that people are actively saying, well, what's the best way for me to find this word? But somehow, through the understanding of meaning, you derive new meaning out of the previous data set that you had. And one thing that I find extremely fascinating in terms of some of the things that Mike talked about on his blog post is the etymology of the word belief. And I don't know if anyone has ever looked at the etymology of the word belief, but it's rather interesting because there's nothing in belief that actually dictates something to be true. And you can do this simply by looking at the meaning of the word belief. If you look up the etymology and the meaning, it simply comes out to something to the effect of wish fulfillment. Wish fulfillment. So the prefix be is something kind of like about or to make true kind of thing. Think of it as the verb to be, maybe, related to that. And then the suffix leaf comes from an Indo-European root, which just basically means to come true. So to believe something is really the idea of making something that you want to come true actually become true. And of course, some of you are deeply involved in magic, and you know how deeply magical this is, how this forms the basis of the idea of magic. I often kind of talk about The Secret in kind of a joking manner, but this is ultimately the truth of something like The Secret, in which you can make your wishes come true simply by wishing for them hard enough. That's literally what you're doing when you believe in something. And of course, if you have no proof for this belief, this is where we go into the idea of faith. Faith is not something that you know to be true, it's something that you assume to be true, okay? And for many, you have enough proof where the assumption of that is true. One thing that I often talk about is gathering as much knowledge as possible. And I don't mean that simply by studying one particular subject, but by studying all subjects. Because the more data you have, the more informed decisions you can make. Again, you can never make a perfect decision. Right? This is at the core of, for example, Zen Buddhism, where any decision that you make will never be the correct decision, because once you begin thinking about the decision, you already made a bad choice. The only way to make the correct choice is to not think about it and allow the universe to dictate what your action should be. This seems very difficult for many people because we all assume we have free will, and I recently did an episode on free will, and there may be some power behind the idea of a particular entity enacting its will onto others. But no singular entity, and by entity I mean just any object, anything in existence, okay? It doesn't have to be a living being. It could be a rock or a cup or anything. But the potentiality, and this is something we'll dive deep into with Aquinas, the potentiality of how much of its will that entity can enact on another is the key difference. So for example, you might think of a rock, and a rock is just something that's just sitting there. It's just full of potential energy. But a human being can walk around, it can make decisions, it can say things, it can move things, it can build things, it can make things, it can imagine things. And so a lot of the potentiality in a human being can actually become kinetic. It can become energy that can enact onto others. And we assume, because we feel as human beings that we're somehow important and that we might be, well, maybe not all of us think this, but some of us might think that we might be better than other species or objects. Some of our ideas might be better than other ideas. because this is how we inherently feel, because we have the ability to consciously think about these things and imagine them and put them into words and therefore turn them into existence, we feel like somehow that makes us more powerful. Now, of course, there is some power to that, but don't think that you inherently have ultimate control and power over existence itself. There lies the difference. So what I mean to say by acquiring all these data sets, by becoming kind of learning about all these different subjects, is you may oftentimes find that there's ideas in something that you may not normally be interested in that will somehow directly translate into an answer or a possible solution for some of the problems that you're working at yourself. And so, oddly enough, I've never been a huge fan of, let's say, economics. But this year, I've really become very interested in economics. And I've had chats via email with a couple folks. Maybe I'll read those at some point in the near future. But you know, one particular segment of economics that I find interesting is cryptocurrencies. And they very much relate to belief systems and ideologies and wish fulfillment. But also some of the intricacies of how economic markets work actually fit directly into spirituality. Now, I'm not going to go into them here because it's irrelevant for the majority of this conversation. But I just want to give an example of why it's important to learn as much as possible from not just the things that you're interested in. Because if you only read things that you're interested in, say ancient mysteries, then everything that you deduce out of the information that you gather is going to be directly jaded by the information that you gather and your beliefs on what these ancient mysteries could be. Now, I'm not saying that if somebody believes, for example, that the recast structure is Atlantis, and somebody believes that Atlantis is of the Azores in the ocean, that one or the other is wrong. They could both be right. They could both be wrong. Currently, we have no way to prove either one of these things. But we can take the information and see. Now, if you firmly begin your assessment by saying, well, you know, for example, going back to this Atlantis example, recat has these ring structures, and this is how Plato describes the island of Atlantis. So let me find evidence to prove that that is the case. You've immediately failed in actually finding an answer to your problem, because you're beginning your study of your hypothesis simply by beginning with the assumption that recat is Atlantis. Okay? You see this in UFO Twitter all the time, for example. Okay? People assume, well, there's aliens visiting Earth, so you know UFOs are physical things. There's little green men or little gray men or, you know, Venusians or tall grays or Nordics or whatever, okay? And so people feel inclined to believe a certain part of that mythology simply based on the fact that they have other inherent beliefs within themselves that lead them to assume these things. Of course, by simply assuming them doesn't make them true. All you're doing is wish fulfillment. So what you need to do is get out of your way of wish fulfillment, of quit trying to put your own will and impart it onto the beliefs of yourself and others in order to make a more cohesive, maybe more true worldview. Now, can you actually prove your worldview to be true? No. You can't. I talked a lot about this year about my 100% certainty that God is real. Never in my life have I been able to say that. And I have no issue saying it now. If some random stranger walked to me on the street and said, hey, do you believe in God? I said, 100%. Okay. Not only do I believe in God, I know God to be true. I know God exists. So what gives me that certainty? What gives me that certainty? Is it just a belief that I hold so strongly that it has jaded my view on whether God could not be real? It's possible. And so going back to this idea of cross-training yourself, there's a really interesting mathematical concept, Gödel's incompleteness theorem, that I highly recommend you go and read about. Maybe I'll do an episode on Gödel's incompleteness theorem. And what Gödel says is that you can have things that are determined to be true, but they cannot be proven to be true. This goes back to the idea that I often talk about the finger cannot point to itself. The finger can only point to things outside of itself. The same happens in mathematics. You can have things that prove each other, but there can come a point in time where you get to an idea that may appear to be true, but is so far beyond all the knowledge that you could acquire that it is inherently impossible for you to prove it's true. This would be the difference between something like a theorem or a conjecture and a proof. And proofs are not simple. You might think something like 1 + 1 is a very simple thing to prove. And maybe ideologically it is. You can take one finger from one hand, one finger from a second hand, and if you count them, one, there's two fingers. Okay, that seems very simple. We just proved it in a few seconds. But is that actually true? And if have you actually ever looked at the really fascinating proof of why 1 + 1 = 2? And it's not a simple proof. The proof for 1 + 1 = 2 is dozens of pages long. It's not a simple thing to do. And yet, your mind is able to do all these things every second of every single day because you're assuming certain things to be true. Because if you have to prove every single thing that you saw and said and thought about to be true, you would never have a singular thought in your life. It's like, the Treants in Lord of the Rings, this ancient tree species that moves extremely slow, talks extremely slow, because they're long-lived, right? They live for thousands of years, and their language evolved to a place where, you know, it might take a decade just to say hello. Now, for those beings, it might not seem like a decade to say hello, because their lifespan is, say, 100-fold from a human being. So they can take the time to identify the concept. And maybe if we had a different way to perceive different states of existence in the universe, that would translate directly to the way that we speak and we think. I've talked about this concept many times before in terms of linguistics. It's a really fascinating idea in that the way that human beings perceive time may change based on how their language explains time. And there's that great movie Arrival, which goes very in-depth into this topic. And in Arrival, you have this alien species that can basically see all of time as one moment, right? So they can see past, present, and future all at the same time. And how does that affect your language? And of course, their language is very interesting. It's somewhat of a glyph-based language. And each glyph doesn't simply identify one word, like, or maybe a basic idea, right? Like being in a human language would, but it directly explains not just that one idea, but all related concepts and how they intertwine with each other. So in common parlance, say a sentence can be all dictated within one glyph. Now that's a really fascinating idea. But it still doesn't prove to us how we can prove for something to be true. And the very simple answer is that it's impossible to prove any particular thing to be true. Because in order for you to prove those things to be true, you have to go beyond the next level. So to prove one thing, you have to prove the thing that came before it, and the thing that came before it, and the thing that came before it. Well, what happens when you get to a place where you need to prove a thing to be true in order for the next to exist? And this is where we'll begin our discussion of Thomas Aquinas and the Pi Proofs, because that lies at the core of understanding the idea. All right, we're going to wrap this up. Thank you for listening to this short episode of The Alchemical Mind. We'll be back in a couple days, this weekend actually. We'll do the first episode of Thomas Aquinas and the Five Proofs for the Existence of God. If you want to reach me, Twitter is a good place, at Mind Alchemical. Email would be the best place, martin@thealchemicalmind. And that's it. Thank you for listening. And as always, remember that you are it. All of it.